Ron and Anian.
I could tell it was going to be a two full moon month, or maybe a two full moon month week at the shop.
And you got a new mouth?
Yeah, new mouth. I have a new mouth that'll help me do things on radio where sound is very important. The Car Doctor, 2008 Volvo V70, came in with a vibration issue. I always think of the Beach Boys, right? Good vibrations, bad vibrations. This was definitely bad vibrations.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, The Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
I passed out on the couch about 3 hours ago here at the studio. And when I woke up, Forrest Gump was on. They were playing it on the TV, and I woke up to that moment where he says, life is like a box of chocolates. You're never quite sure what you're going to get. And I said, you know, that's a lot like auto repair. I never thought of it like that until I saw it right up there on the big screen. You know, you're never going to quite sure what you're going to get here with this show today, so I'm just warning you, I'm kind of in a goofy mood, so let's see what happens. I guess my first question for you is $6,800 too much money to spend repairing an 09 Honda CR-V? Would you take that as an annoyance if a repair shop told you that's how much work your car needed? Would you believe them? Would you do it? Or would you seek out the advice of a second opinion, which is what the owner of the Honda did, and it landed on my doorstep? The only catch is, I didn't know about the $6,800 quote until after the fact. And it's not something that normally comes up, but, you know, you're just, as a mechanic, I think it's part of my job to be inquisitive. Listen, I get up every day, trying to be the best at what it is I'm going to do that day. I don't know anybody that's successful or anybody in their right mind that gets up and says, I want to be a jerk today. I don't want to be successful. I want to do everything wrong. Why would we do that? As human beings, we want to be good at being human, right? That's part of what successful and good people do. So every car that comes in, you know, sometimes it's not just a repair. Sometimes it's, why did this break? Or why am I fixing it? Why isn't the last shop fixing it? And you just kind of wonder in the back of your mind. This 09 Honda CR-V came in, and it wanted a state inspection. No problem. We can do state inspection. And he asked me, he said, hey, Ron, you know, there's an exhaust leak. You know, can you fix the exhaust leak so I pass state inspection? I said, well, Tom, you know, I really don't need an exhaust system to not leak in New Jersey. In New Jersey, they don't care. All we care about is paperwork, odometer, license plates, and that might even be an advisory now, and that the check engine light's not on and that there's no code stored. So I said, but let me look at it. I'll do the inspection, and then I'll look at the exhaust leak, and I'll quote you. I'll give you some numbers. So I did the inspection, easy peasy, went right through like I thought it would, and I looked at the exhaust. Well, Honda, and I see a lot of, and this seems to be a Japanese car thing. I don't know why, but it seems to be a Japanese, Toyota, Honda, Nissans do this. They weather the bolts and the nuts. They just round off into nothing. There's just nothing there. And it just becomes smooth. And the nuts and studs that hold where the cat and the middle pipe came together had just separated, and it was just there by tension of the rubber hangers, just kind of keeping it, and made an exhaust leak. So I said, yeah, Tom, I said, it really needs exhaust from the cat back, not counting the cat, but that pipe, the over-the-axle pipe and the muffler back, because the pipe at the other end had rotted and was no good. And it just became a case of, let me do the exhaust. I looked up exhaust, and I said, you know, this is like, you know, $600-$700 worth of exhaust. I said, the catalytic converter may give me a little bit of problem. I'm going to have to heat the studs and back them out. I got to figure out how I'm going to get those out because there's nothing there to grab onto. And he said, oh, okay, great. I said, you know, this could be $800. He says, fine, do what you got to do. So I did it. And as I'm doing it, I'm saying, and, you know, you get in the car and you notice there's a Honda oil change sticker in the top left corner. It was just done. And you say to yourself, how could the Honda dealer not try to repair this car? How could any repair shop not try to repair this car? It's an obvious exhaust fault. And so far, it seems like what I have in the way of this new customer is a willing candidate for some auto repair. Like, you get up every day, you go to work, you try to make a living. Like, why wouldn't you do this? I did the repair. Not a problem. You know, heated up the studs. I figured out how I heated up the studs, popped them out with my little ball peen hammer. I was able to figure out a method so that I wouldn't hurt the cat. I got the studs out. Put it all together. Quiet. Nice. Painted it up. I always paint my exhaust systems. It slows down the rust process that, you know, 3 years from now, you'll be putting exhaust on it again anyway. $800. $856 and change with tax, something like that. Tom shows up, and we're exchanging some pleasantries. You know, we're 6 feet social distancing apart. He's standing out in the middle of the parking lot, and I'm you know, picking up his credit card from the ground. And, you know, we're doing business kind of weird these days. And I start talking to him, and I said, Tom, I said, you know, I got to ask. And if one thing old age has made you is you're just blunt. Hey, how come the last shop didn't fix this? Maybe it's not old age. Maybe it's just wisdom. I don't know. And he said, well, I said, didn't they want to fix it? He goes, oh, yeah. He said, how did you know? I said, well, fresh oil change stickers, usually the giveaway. That tells me that it was somewhere else and you know, you didn't want to do it. I said, you know, I always want to know, what did the last shop do to annoy that customer? What made that old customer of that last repair shop a new customer at mine? Because I want to make sure, A, I never do that. And I want to make sure, B, it was a reasonable failure on the part of the last shop. It wasn't something like the guy didn't like people with mustaches, in which case I'm out. So he said, you know, Ron, I've been going there for a couple of years, and they always seem to be okay. He goes, you know, I lived my way through the $250, $300 oil changes because it always grows from the $60 oil change up to $300 because they always find something wrong. I said, okay. He said, but this time, he said, it just didn't make any sense to me. He said they saw the exhaust leak, and I said, okay, let me guess. They wanted to put a catalytic converter on the car. He goes, no. He says, yeah, but that was only part of it. He said the exhaust system they wanted to spend $3,700 on because they wanted to do a cat. They wanted to do a manifold. They wanted to change everything. And I said, why? And he said, I don't know. And we talked about it a little bit more, and I said, you know, I'm going to take a guess at this, Tom, because I've seen this before. I wonder if the dealership has anybody capable of handling oxyacetylene torches or if they have torches on premise. I don't know that dealers do that. And I'm not trying to discount all dealers and throw them under the bus. I wonder because there's no logical reason. It wasn't that hard to do. I wonder why because, and then it gets worse. And then Tom said, he goes, Ron, so it was $3,700, $3,800 for exhaust. And then they wanted to sell me four shocks, four struts, all the fluids, tires, and I had looked the car over, and there was nothing there this car needed. It was $6,800 by the time they were done. And he said, you know, he said, listen, I was born, but I wasn't born yesterday. And he said, my dad was in the tire business when he was alive and working, and Tom's probably in his 40s. And he said, you know, he says, I know enough that, you know, I'm not in the business. He says, but I know enough when I feel like I'm getting pressured. He said, something doesn't make any sense. And he said, that's why I ended up on your doorstep. And he said, I like what you're doing. I like what I see. And, you know, number one, it gave me some good reinforcement and feedback, made me feel good. And two, I understand why people leave other repair shops. Somebody didn't explain that right. And somebody didn't offer an explanation. And I got a feeling he wasn't too comfortable there in the first place. He was just looking for something else, but he didn't know where to go. You know, auto repair is a lot like dating, right? You're, you know, let's try it out and see if it works. And, you know, is it a good relationship? Because that's really what auto repair is about. People will walk in the door and, you know, ask for things and you try to accommodate them. That's what a repair shop is supposed to be. But a repair shop is not supposed to be is overindulging. There's some places where you have to draw the line for safety, for business, for practicality. And Tom, you know, he was right there. He got it. He said, look, I'm glad to spend the money. He said, as a matter of fact, he asked me, he said, could you give me a quote on struts? And I did. And I said, but I think you're wasting your money. There's nothing wrong with the car. It's got 130,000 miles on it. It's 11, 12 years old. And it rides fine. They're not leaking. I don't see any issues. And he's like, really? Yeah. dude, save your money. We can spend your money later. One thing I've learned, 45 years of auto repair, 60 plus years on the planet, it's easy to spend money. We can always spend it later. And I guess $6,800 is too much, especially when it doesn't need it. And the point of this opening conversation, remember, today's like a box of chocolates day, is if you have your doubts, if you're not quite sure, if when you leave your repair shop, there's that nagging feeling in your head, what did I just do and did I really need it? Or if you got a quote for the same, get a second opinion. It pays. It really does. The worst that happens is, again, it's like that dating thing. You go on a date with somebody else, you find out, gee, I really like the way what's his name or what's your name folded the napkins and ate their lunch. Or you're going to find out, you know what? I didn't like that so much. It really annoyed me. I'm staying here. So just something to think about and food for thought, no pun intended, as we open up this hour of the Car Doctor.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I take my car to this place in New Jersey, and you want to know what really annoys me about that place?
God, are you still here?
I have to see you.
Yeah, but I have a smiling face. So, how are you today, Tom?
Oh, you got something on your face.
Yeah. But Tom, would you, I hear your stories when you go into your local Ford dealer, and they respect you, they talk to you, they work with you. Would you spend $1,600 cold like that?
No, whenever they get that new guy is the time when I sit there and I just look them in the eye and go, no. Like the time I brought my daughter's car in for inspection, she said that they came out and they told me there was a problem with a sway bar, and you had just looked at it, and there wasn't anything wrong. And I looked at them, I said, fail it. And they went, excuse me?
Right.
I said, you heard me, fail it.
Yeah, they can't. They can't.
I said, there's nothing to fail it on.
By the way,
knock yourself out.
Are you done talking now? Can I tell you why?
Yes, thank you.
You're running late into the break. We got to go. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Gee, I love that kind of talk. We'll be back right after this.
For the best in car advice, give Ron a call, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, all that Goodyear Brakes Give Them a Break giveaway. That's the real deal. They're trying to honor frontline workers, so we need your nominations. If you know somebody, all right, if you know anyone, and this isn't, this is obviously healthcare workers, police, fire, grocery store clerks, gas stations, the people that were out there toe-to-toe with the pandemic, we want to know about it. We want you to nominate it, put it up on our Facebook page, send us a letter, send us an email, ron@cardoctorshow.com, or just call us up and do it right here online and on air. And we'll make sure we submit it to the judges for a decision on a winner. We're looking to give somebody away. The folks at Goodyear are looking to give somebody a set of brakes for their vehicle. So let's take care of those that took care of us. Ryan in Maine, 09 Camry. How can I help you today, sir?
Hey, Ron. I have to thank you, sir. You helped me a couple of years back.
Okay.
My 06 Camry had a battery light come on, and I ended up figuring out replacing the alternator, and it ran fine enough for me to sell it and get a 2016 Corolla, so thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
And my wife's car just recently, the battery light came on, and I was like, oh boy, I know what that is. So I had it load tested it, alternator was bad, went and replaced the alternator with her father.
V6 Camry, Ryan? Ryan, V6 Camry?
Yeah, V6 Camry LE.
Isn't that a fun job?
That was not a fun job at all.
Take the front bumper off and all that? Isn't that great?
Well, it was even worse than the four-cylinder because we got into my 06 Camry, we replaced the alternator, everything was fine, and as we were pulling on the tensioner to get the belt back on, the tension arm snapped in half.
Ugh.
So luckily the O'Reilly that was local to me actually had one, because I had it in a garage. It had to be out of there that day.
Wow.
And luckily they had one, and actually getting the tensioner on the new one was worse than doing the alternator.
Well, that's because, the tension on that belt is, the tensioner is now, it's a fresh tensioner.
I'm
saying? It's a fresh tensioner, so it's... that's the amount of load, but that just, listen, look at the positive. O'Reilly Auto Parts had it. Isn't it amazing how many parts O'Reilly Auto Parts has? I never hear anybody say, I went to O'Reilly Auto Parts and they didn't have it. It's usually O'Reilly Auto Parts had it. It's just staggering. Think about the number of numbers, if that's a way to say it, of the stocking numbers or the SKUs, as they call it, that they have to keep an inventory in-house to meet all the needs. It's and they move things around. It's staggering how they do it. It really is. It's quite an operation. Well, I'm glad it worked out. Everything
it's also what? Yeah, that's also why I like Toyota, because everybody has the parts. They're so common.
Right. Yeah. Everything else go all right with the 09 Camry, with the alternator install?
So the alternator was fine. We replaced that, but then my wife got the car back, and she wasn't getting any heat. She was getting mildly warm heat. The AC would work fine, but when you crank it over to the hot position, it wasn't warm at all. I mean, it was warm, but it wasn't hot. And so I'm no mechanic by any means, and I'm sitting there trying to figure this out. I'm like, all right. So I used – what I really called about was how important it is to listen to you, the car doctor, because I sat there and I said, all right, sit down, figure out what works. Anything that works, check that off the list. When you get to the point where you hit something that doesn't work, that might be your issue.
Bingo. Diagnosed by tell me what's good and then you'll know what's bad. Perfect.
Right. So I sat there, I checked, I moved the dials back and forth. I could hear the dampers moving. I checked the fluid. The fluid was a little low, so that was my first indication. Then I reached underneath the hood, and I felt the two hoses going to the heater core. One of them was hot. The other one wasn't hot. So I was like, okay, there's something going on in the system. We had to undo some of the hoses of the system to get to the alternator and replace it.
Right.
So my first thought was, okay, there's air in the system. So I researched it a little bit, and I was like, figured out how to bleed the system. Popped the radiator cap off, topped it off, ran the car, had the funnel in the top of the radiator. The level rose up, it bubbled really badly, and then the bubbles subsided. And then all of a sudden, it sucked all the stuff back down in. I topped it back off, put the cap back on. The car ran great. I let it cool down, came back, popped the cap again, and the level had dropped quite a bit again, so I topped it back off, put the cap back on, and now her heater is running perfect.
And, you know, you had to pull the upper radiator hose to get that alternator in, I believe, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we actually, at one point, we had to take the front right wheel off and go in through the wheel well to get to a certain, like, bolt.
Right, for the tensioner.
It was.
Oh, and for the alternator, too, for the bottom alternator.
It was not a fun job.
Yeah, it's – hey, listen, you know what? I'll tell you what, you did great. By the way, we open at 8 o'clock on Monday, so if you want a job as a mechanic, just be on the doorstep because you did better.
I just listened to you, sir. That was the reason I called. I was like, everything's fixed now, but I just want to tell people, listen to Ron because
– Well, I thank you.
Don't – it was funny because when researching it, there was a comment that I had seen, and a lady, instead of – you know, doing what I did, she just assumed the heater core was bad and spent like $700 getting a brand new heater core and it installed. And then she finally had read the post and was like, oh my God, I could have just done this and seen if that was the issue before I did all that work. And all that money.
It's staggering. You know, I don't want to spend any money. I'll just change parts. Why diagnose anything? Ryan, I got to go. I appreciate the call. It's been fun. You be well up there in Maine, and I'm glad that your wife will let you back in the house now that the heat's fixed and her car is working 100%. Only kidding, brother. You have a good rest of the weekend. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. We are back right after this. The Car Doctor, the great Eddie Van Halen, we lost this week. And thanks for the music, Eddie. We appreciate it very, very much. Let's get over to Keith in Indianapolis talking about some oil filters and other questions. Keith, welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Hey, Ron. I just want to thank you. I talked to you a while ago. I had an 09 Toyota Sienna minivan. I'm the original owner, bought it brand new. They've got a service bulletin out regarding their cam phasers, and I guess basically when you shut the engine off, there's a pin that engages to lock the timing in place. And so when you restart it, until the oil gets up there to operate the variable valve timing, well, apparently these pins, there's a they just quit engaging, and you get a brief rattle at startup until the oil gets up there. And they've got a service bulletin that affects all their V6, 3.5-liter engines. And, well, anyway, they quoted me $6,000 to do the job. Ooh. And I called and talked to you about it, and, you know, we kind of went over the pros and cons and what the options were. After much fighting and haranguing with the dealership and the manufacturer, we got down to about $3,600 that they would do the job for. So I went ahead and did that. And because, like you say, $3,600 to fix it or $34,000 to replace it.
Right.
So, you know. Yeah. But anyway, I appreciate your advice on that. I just wanted to let
you're
you know the ultimate.
You're welcome.
And then the other question I have, so I changed my own oil. I use synthetic and in both my vehicles. But I use the Wix oil filters, and I've noticed last time I was in O'Reilly, they also have a Wix XP line, and it says that it's specifically formulated for synthetic oils. Now, I only go 5,000 miles between my oil changes, so I'm not trying to stretch it out or anything like that. About a $3 cost difference from the Wix to the Wix XP. I was just curious if you've seen this filter and if you think it's worth using over the regular Wix.
I've seen the filter. Great questions, Keith. I've seen the filter. Okay, and the filter is geared towards higher mileage, as my understanding. So if you want to go, you know, if you want to go 10,000 miles or 8,000 miles instead of five, you know, listen, it's you get what you spend for. All right, it's
right.
The one I don't understand is okay. Not to get away from your question, but the filter that a lot of the manufacturers use, the Toyota dealer, the Honda dealer, the GM dealer. That's the same filter. They haven't, to my knowledge, they have not improved and come up with an XP or a high standard filter like Wix and some of the other manufacturers. And yet they're stretching the oil changes from 5 to 8 to 10, you know, right to the maximum to the edge. As you learned with this repair, okay, oil just does so much more. You want to have a good time? You want to do something fun? Go out online and go to castrol.com. All right, and read about all the different. I was doing this just the other day. All the different viscosities of oil that are out there now, and Castrol has all of them. Did you know they make a 5W50 oil?
No.
How's that for a standard? They make a 550 and they make a 10W60 for certain cars. So you know, oil has gotten to be so precise. And it really is, you know, Castrol's slogan is it's liquid engineering, and I've come to the conclusion they're right, because it's so precise. Look at what happened, you know, and I'm sure you used the best oil you could find in your Sienna, but you still had a problem with the phasers. And oil just does so much more than lubricating today. Lubricating is probably the third thing on the list. You know, it's just doing so many other things. We're using it to control valve train. We're using it to lubricate. We're using it to cool. We're using it to just everything. There's hydraulic function and all sorts of things going on with oil today. So, yeah, you know, your filter you're using, if it's a Wix, if it's the Wix standard duty filter, is fine. If you're using a good quality synthetic oil, that's great. You know, but just don't go the other way. Don't start cheapening it out. I like a 5,000 mile interval on synthetic. I know it's, some people will argue and say it's a little premature. To me, it's not a race. It's longevity. And I want to, you know, my other argument is you've got a 2009 vehicle, you said, right?
Yep.
So it's 11 going on 12 model years old. Do you want to look at it more or less the older you get? You know, when you're a kid, you didn't need to go, you know, you didn't need to go home. You were more durable. You kind of stayed out all night and did what you had to do. And the older you get, you need to rest a little bit more and you need to watch yourself a little bit more. And yeah, just like the human being, the car is the same way. You know, to get under the car and look around every 5,000 miles, 6,000 miles, you're going to get longevity out of that vehicle. I got in the Ranger the other day. Let me just say, I got in the Ranger the other day, my 97 Ranger that you guys have heard me talk about for years and years and years. You know, I've been talking about the Ranger since I got it used in 2004. And, you know, synthetic oil, change the oil. I change the oil on that every 4,000 miles just because it's a shop truck and it sits a lot. But, you know, it's got 219,828 miles on it now. Original engine.
Yeah.
And it's just, I, you know,
On that repair, what amazed me about that was not only did they replace all four cam phasers, they actually replaced one of the entire camshafts is apparently part of this repair procedure. And it just amazed me. I didn't even make it to 100,000 miles, and they're having to tear the whole engine apart.
Right.
And it was a manufacturing defect, and without me fighting like I did, I mean, they were going to put the whole $6,000 repair in my lap and say, sorry about you.
Yeah, and
it really amazed me.
Yeah, it's because, well, I can tell you why. Here's my theory. Because you don't owe them any money on the car, obviously. It's an 09, right?
Right, yeah, it's paid off. Yeah,
the check cleared. See ya. Hey, Ryan, you want to come down? Keith, you want to come down and buy another one? You know, we'll be glad to sell you another car. You know, it's
yeah, I know.
It's you know, and you know, one of the things you start looking at motor oil and the abuses of motor oil and how it gets beat up. You want to read something really interesting, and I think Castrol has the information on their website. Go look up about shear strength, S-H-E-E-R, I believe is the way it's spelled, the shear point of oil and how oil, you know, think about it. The engine sits, and then you go start it up on a cold Indianapolis morning or an Indiana morning, and all of a sudden that, you know, you're grinding metal against metal until the oil pressure comes up and floats the component, all right? I'll say it like that. You know, it's just, you want to do something interesting. If you think you've got engine wear, take a little Dixie cup of old oil and put it in the microwave. Yeah. All right. Shh, don't tell anybody. Here's a trick. All right. Take a little bit of the oil, put it in a Dixie cup in the microwave and microwave it for 10 seconds. See if you get any sparks.
Huh?
Right.
Okay. If there's metal fragments in it,
if there's metal fragments in it, you'll get sparks. If there isn't, try it with clean oil. Try it with dirty oil. Look at the difference. Now, if you're really nervous, then take the oil out and send it out and get it analyzed. But that's one of the oldest tricks we learned years ago. That, you know, if we think we've got a metal issue inside the vehicle, because, you know, theoretically there should never be any metal in the oil, right?
Right. Yeah. Theoretically.
So, theoretically.
Well, thanks again, Ron. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Keith. And get out to Castrol.com. You'll enjoy it. It's good reading. Some really good stuff there.
Do.
You take good care. I'm Ron Ananey in the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. We're back right after this.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
And again, a little tribute to the great Johnny Nash. We also lost him this week. Just a tough week in music. And we thank both him and Eddie Van Halen for their music this week. Two great artists. So let's get over to Jeff in Florida, 04 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Jeff, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hey, Ronnie.
Yes, sir.
Ditto on the Ronnie Van Halen and Nash.
Tough stuff, right?
What a legacy those guys. Anyhow, the 04 Grand Cherokee, the vehicle of my dreams. I think I started drooling over them at the Detroit Auto Show in 99 when they introduced them.
Cool.
And finally got my 2004 because I knew they were going to independent suspensions and this and that. And I said, I want live Dana axles. I want a V8 and I want the full-time quadra drive and everything like that. So I jumped into it and I knew I'd be paying on it for a while, but keeping it forever until death do us part.
Okay.
I'm kind of leery about mentioning my history. I think I'm a over vehicle maintainer, like I said, since I intended to fully keep the vehicle to the end. And I'll gloss over this really quickly, but I'm not shy to having major surgery done on it because in the process of doing all my own diff fluids, transfer case fluids, transmission fluids throughout the years, when I got the price tag from the dealership, what they wanted for them, you know, I did all my own fluids. And I learned that the rubber plug on the rear differential Dana 44s is meant to be changed every so often because they can fall out.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you the fix. I can tell you the fix for that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well,
RT, because the next question is, go try and buy that plug from the Chrysler dealer.
Really?
I've never found a Chrysler dealer that stocks it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I learned that, I was told that by the parts guy when I was buying my new ring and pinion because the plug fell out.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, that's, as a matter of fact, we RTV that plug in.
Yeah.
We'll put a bead of our TV.
I was,
you know, the lip?
Right.
The back where and it kind of spooges into the cover. We'll put a little bead of RTV
like
there. Yeah, just put a little bit of RTV there, and then it kind of spooges out. And then we'll take a little RTV and put it over the top of it like we're tarring the roof and let it seal up. And I would do that even with a new one. I think that's got to be one of the dumbest ideas I ever saw on a car, a rubber plug and a differential. What happens if the vent gets clogged? And you submerge it, right? You take that Jeep or that Chrysler truck underwater, like so many people do, and now the vent's plugged. Internal pressure builds up in the diff. Where's it going to go? It's going to pop the plug out. Good idea.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's why I got myself aftermarket diff covers with drain and full bolts.
Yep.
After that.
Yep.
Learned the hard way.
Yep.
But, ring and pinion, I rounded up the Mopar, the dealer parts, took them to my trusted mechanic. He opened her up and stretched the case, the aluminum pumpkin on those and all that, and did a good job. And I'm back to my, my original mechanic, and now I've got my diff covers that have fill bolts and drain bolts instead of pulling the whole 10-bolt thing down and re-RTVing it and draining it and all that stuff. So I believe I over-maintained my vehicle by filling and flushing my diffs every, 50,000, 60,000, I think I did it at.
Yeah, that's okay. It's not that soon for me as far as I'm concerned. So I think
right.
You're fine.
So I don't have to worry about losing my rubber plug anymore because I nixed that deal. And at the time, I want to just briefly say, I thought that rubber plug was there to let the thing breathe. But when I discovered that there's a breather hose on the top of that axle, I was just dumbfounded. I'm like, oh, this is a case of another $1.50 production cost that they decided not to have welded on fill with a bolt,
Makes you wonder.
I was a little disappointed.
Yeah. Makes you wonder.
You buy a Jeep like that, a heavy duty with a reputation of Jeep and all that, and you see a little cheapo like that. And
yep.
It just really stung me.
Yep. I'll tell you what, Jeff, hey, Jeff, hold your thought, all right? Because I know there's a question in here somewhere, right? Yeah. Hold your thought. Let me pull over and take a pause. Well, a couple of minutes when we come back. I don't want to rush this. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Get over and talk to Jeff in Florida. Jeff, you're back with the Car Doctor. What's your question before the hour runs out, brother?
Yes, sir. So now my my trusted mechanic, he did major surgery on my rear diff, and he's trusted. And hey, let's change the right side CV axle on the front Dana 30, and change a sealed bearing while we're at it. Because 2 years ago, I had a torn boot on the left side. And so that's just trouble waiting to happen. So change that half shaft and bearing. So now I'm like, I'm going to do some preventative maintenance here and have two recent CV shafts and sealed bearings up front and the whole brake jobs, four-wheel brake job and everything. And get it back, and I'm doing some tire movements around, jacking up my driver's side, and I see some fluid coming out of the axle tube near the right side, passenger side knuckle.
Right, the seal's leaking.
Yeah, and my heart, of course, it was probably a double heart attack, and I said, I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth, and called my mechanic, said, what could that be? What's our options? What should I do? He says, it could be residual fluid. When we pulled out your drive shaft, it's the long side, and put it back in, some fluid inadvertently comes through that hole and leaks into your tube, and then when we put in the new axle shaft, there could be dirt on it, could be this and that, but it also could be residual. So what I did is I kept it jacked up on an angle like that and drained it and then looked for it to come back again, and it's coming back slower and slower and slower.
Okay, you want to try something? You want to try something quick and simple, Jeff?
Yes.
You've seen engine oil dye to diagnose engine oil leaks?
Yes.
Okay. Take the cover off, drain a little fluid, or not the cover, take the plug out, drain a little fluid out.
Fill bolt.
All right. And just add some engine oil dye to the diff fluid. Who says you can't?
Right.
And drive the truck. This way you'll know. And
right.
This way when you go back to your trusted mechanic, not that he isn't, you can say, hey, listen, take a black light. Every repair shop I know worth their salt's got a black light so you can see, fluorescent dye. And, if they see fluorescent dye, boom, that seal's leaking. Now, Is it their fault? No, probably not. It's probably a consequence of the vehicle's in 04. It's, you know, 16 years old. We pulled the axle in and out. I'm sure we scuffed the seal up a little bit. But in my mind, how many miles are on it now?
45.
Say again?
145.
145? You know what? You owe it a couple of seals. If you owed it everything else you did, you owe it a couple of seals, and let's put some axle seals in it and solve the problem and make it go away completely. So I don't see it as a crisis. I just think, you know, let's diagnose it. Let's add some dye to it and see where that goes. Hey, real quick, I appreciate the call, Jeff. Hey, real quick, Kathy writes in, hey, Ron, you got to clarify about the Goodyear brake giveaway, Frontliner Medical, Fire, and Police. No, Kathy, you know what? Tom and I decided we're making this essential workers, fire, medical, police, grocery store, delivery people, all you guys that were out there on the front lines, qualify for the Goodyear break, give them a break giveaway. Send us the nomination. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.